Welcome to Wolf Dan's Saturday Set, the best show on television. We are back on the tools for another week. King Zone, how are you, son?
Fantastic. I've been burning the candle at both ends, but I've been getting the job done and I'm ready to rip right in on Saturday.
Everything feels busy at the moment, doesn't it?
It does.
Plenty going on.
It does. Yeah, no, it's good though.
Some fantastic racing this weekend. Let's bring in the Fizzer. How are you, mate?
Morning, lads. I'm well, thank you.
Must be excited. Do you like it when the best horse is running?
And it is exciting, yeah. Weekend. Very, very tough to wager, but very exciting times. I like watching the good races go around.
Let's get into it. We've got some brilliant racing from both Flemington and Randwick, and we're going to start with Flemington. Three feature races from there. Let's start with the Blamey Stakes, a 1,600-metre race. It is race seven. A lot of Group 1 performers in this race who've dropped back a little bit in grade, trying to get a win. No one more deserving than Step Hardy. I read that he's run the placing in his last six starts, and a few of them have been at Group 1 level. Let's have a chat about it, mate.
Yeah, so there's average pressure here. Just Folk goes forward. Future History goes forward. Plenty of Ammo goes forward. Oh, it's a no-bet race for me, but I will talk about the race. I'll go a 3-2-1. So on top I had Marble Arch, which gets in with 53 kilos. Big run last start in the JRA plate. Interesting stat about Marble Arch. Four times Marble Arch has sat in the first four, and for two wins and 1 second.
Yeah.
So Marble Arch performs better when he can get on pace.
Yes.
Drawn barrier six, I think Mickey D needs to push forward a little bit and sit, probably sit, I'm not saying get in the, you know, sit first or second, but just sit behind them in about fifth or sixth and give this horse absolutely every chance to win. Fitness Edge two there for Marble Arch. Second, I put in Nugget. Six out of seven have been over the 1,600 metres for Nugget. The blinker's off. And third, I've gone with Plastic Carousel, who should also push forward with 53 kilos and sit on pace there, maybe about fourth or fifth. And we've seen this horse come over with big wraps 12 months ago.
Plastic Carousel, yep.
Yeah, and this might be the time to sort of shine and go to the new level. So those are my three. It is a very hard race. I haven't mentioned the favourite Step Hardy, who I thought had a good chance but just seemed a bit short in the market.
All right, Fizz, what do you got to add, mate?
Yeah, good trial, placed the Carousel, but it's let me down a few times off the back of a nice trial, so I'm going to have to let it go. Look, it's not a betting race for me. Like King said, Just Folk probably had it a bit tough chasing a really hot tempo against Buffalo River last start, so it's probably better suited just getting the lead by itself. I actually thought that maybe number three, Future History, if you wanted something at odds, that would be an each-way play for me if I was going to be betting. I had it top pick, Nugget second pick and Stepardi third pick, but Marble Arch, there's a lot of horses here you could make a case for, and I found the race way too hard to have a bet in.
All right, let's move to what might be an easier race, the Australian Guineas for 2025, one of the Blue Riband races of the autumn. Let's bring up the market quickly. Now, the horses up the top there, the three favourites, they all ran enormous last starts. So what I want to do is just remind ourselves what happened and just go and have a look at the last sort of 200-300 metres of each of their starts. Let's start with Sepples. So Sepples was in the CSAs. Here he is bursting through in the checkered cap. We've got Royal Insignia back there as well. I think it was favourite on the day.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Royal Insignia a bit later, but that's Royal Insignia getting up the fence there in the red cap, and obviously Sepples extremely impressive. What do you think of Sepples in this, Fitz?
Yeah, well, I have to say it's probably top pick coming into this race. If it repeats that, I think it's the horse to beat myself. Angel Capital, I think, deserves to be favourite coming out of a bit of a different form race, but Sepple's just with the upside and Angel Capital having to go up the 1,600, which it has failed at. I'm more on Sepple's side.
Okay. Let's go and have a look at the next replay. So we're looking at Point and Shoot this time. Let's call it the American Colours. Down the outside at Randwick on the February the 8th. Absolutely pisses in. Air Bjorn Baker at his best. Impressive win. He's obviously just been monitoring the guineas and decided, you know what, we can win this race. And he sent Point and Shoot down there. Look at that finish. Beautiful.
Definite chance. Gets a lovely run from barrier one. It's just going to be behind the pace, which in this race looked average to fast pace. We stay focused going forward, but gets a lovely run behind the speed and hard to sort of say couldn't win, I think.
Sure. Okay, the last replay we are going to look at is Angel Capital in the Autumn Stakes. Benny Mellum on board clicks him right up and he just comes over. Right over the top and finishes off, and I guess you've got to say he deserves to be favourite.
Yeah, I don't know about that. this run, yeah, very impressive, but came off the slow tempo. The thing that worries me a bit on Saturday about Angel Capital is that all the wins have come off slow tempos.
Mm-hmm.
I think Saturday we're going to get a genuine tempo. So 1,400, back to 1,600. Angel Capital has been over 1,600 once and failed.
Mm-hmm.
Ran sixth in the Caulfield Guineas. So Angel Capital is going to get a long way back. So if you combine my question is, can Angel Capital sprint that dash over 1,600 off a fast tempo? History would suggest that it's a query, and that is my query with Angel Capital. But just getting back to that race that Seeples won so impressively,
yes.
The second horse in Dollar was a very, very big run there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw last week with the Blue Diamond where let's try and avoid the obvious and try and find runs behind that may improve.
Devil Knight was the perfect example.
Devil Knight, which we both I didn't back Devil Knight, but Fitz backed Devil Knight. I tipped Devil Knight as a good sort of value play. Mm. And that's what in these lot of these races that let's try and avoid the obvious and
that's what you're gonna do, don't you? Yeah.
And try and find some value. And Royal Insignia started favourite in the race that Seppels won, mm-hmm. going from 1,400 to 1,600, was three wide and then came up the fence. But Connections of Royal Insignia. I know that Graham Begg's got a massive rap on Royal Insignia, started favourite in that race. They also said didn't handle the soft seven. Yes. We got a good track there at Flemington on Saturday. I think Flemington will suit Royal Insignia. I think 1,600 will suit Royal Insignia. And the price there as well, $16, you may get better than that as well. Barrier 15, drawn wide again, will sit midfield and come down the middle of the track. But $4 Angel Capital, $5.50 point and shoot, and $6 Seppel compared to $16 to $20 about Royal Insignia. I'm with Royal Insignia. I'm going to back Royal Insignia, but not an official Saturday set.
Fantastic. All right, great summation. Let's move on. We can go to the English Sprint, $1 million race, 1,200 metres for the three-year-olds. This is the race that Estrella broke out in last year and then went on to win the Sunlight, where she ran that really big rating that has her up the top of the markets. Of late, a lot of these horses, of course, will go on to the Sunlight as well, which is on Australian Cup Day. Let's get an AI screen to help us unpack it. There it is, the new look AI screen.
Elmore Zillow, one of my favourite horses.
Well, he's found it again,
Elmore Zillow every time. The L.
God almighty.
The L. We've got L on 92, Gatsby's 85, Reserve Bank 72, and Daggers coming in as a lay at 55. I think to win this race, you're going to have to be a very, very strong 1,200 metre horse.
Mm-hmm.
So we got any replays for this, or are we just getting straight into it?
One little thing I did hear is I was listening to Chris Waller's weekly preview review, and he said that he's keen to run Gatsby's in the Newmarket, but he needs to be guaranteed a run in the Newmarket, which is next week, right? So that he couldn't get guaranteed, so he's decided to run Gatsby's here.
Yeah.
My point is, if he wants to run Gatsby's in the Newmarket, it must be going pretty well.
Mm.
It's a big push for it, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It is, and goes all right down the straight. I think there's just a heap of pace and speed in this race.
Mm.
You're going to have to be a 1,200 metre horse, as I just said. Oh, sorry, 1,400 metre horse, I think, will win this race.
To win it,
you've got to be running right through the line here.
Okay.
I also think that you're going to need cover. I don't want to be on horses that are natural speed horses in this race. So if I break it down into positives and negatives, race pressure and map-wise, I'm against just off this pure factor. I'm against Daggers. I'm against Reserve Bank. I'm against Midnight Dynamite. I'm against Certain Rise, and I'm against Scintilla. So that there's a lot of horses in the market that I don't think will be suited by the way the race is going to be run. The ones that I think will be, and they'll get a little bit of cover in this race, are Oddinson, Elmore Zillow, and Gatsby's. I think from 11 will get cover. There's enough speed to sort of sit 6th, 7th, 8th for Gadsby's. The horse that I'm with, which we just saw, is Elmore Zillow. A great run-up at the Sunny Coast in January. Has since trialed, won a trial up there about 2 weeks ago. Kelly Sweet has brought this horse down, hasn't brought a horse down for about 10 years down to Melbourne, so obviously got a big opinion of it. And will be running hard through the line. I'm very confident, and I'm so confident I'm going to make Elmore Zillow my first official Saturday set tip.
There it is, the first one. Outstanding. Fizz, you tipping it as well?
Definitely not tipping Elmore Zillow. I thought this race was really, really hard. There's a lot of horses first up. and a lot of horses that are going down the straight for the first time. Look, King's talked about horses that are 1,400 metre horses, so if I was going to steer anyone into anything, I'm going to tip number 15, Scintilla. Les Bridge, love him as a trainer, goes enormous. His horse won over 1,400 running away from a Warwick Farm last start. Drawn the outside, which I reckon is a very big advantage down the straight. I thought Reserve's Bank Trial was very nice. I think that's why it's come up short. And Gatsby is always a hope, but I don't know. We thought it was a fresh horse and it didn't win fresh this time in. So be interested to see what happens there. But, yeah, those three for me without betting. So, yeah, King's El Murillo.
Yeah, it's a hard race, but that's why you're getting very hard. You know, it'll be $6 the field here.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Before we do, though, free AI on Saturday, as always. Wangaratta, I think, is the provincial menu. You get free AI at Flemington. Because of our partnership with racing.com, you can access that on the app or the website. It's time to move to Sydney. Randwick, a race course.
Randwick, just on that Flemington race, I just want to say it's often a good race to play exotics in, and what I mentioned about the race pressure, by boxing up those horses that will come from the back and leaving out those horses. Because if they do go 100 miles an hour, chances are they'll all fold. Let's move on.
Fair enough. Okay, we're going to talk about the Surround Stakes Group 1 1,400 metre race for the three-year-old fillies. As we start to move into this race, I just want to play Autumn Glow's trial from Monday. Here it is here. So she's in the Arrowfield colours, the yellow and black checks, and she's got the blue cap on. She was obviously, you know, the boom three-year-old filly of the spring, went a little bit amiss towards the end of it. She was going to run in this race, but they've decided not to. I just wanted everyone to be able to see her trial to understand why they decided not to put her in this race and wait there. You can see she's going to the line sort of under.
So when's she going to go around in next week or week after?
No, she's not actually going to race until March the 22nd. The Derby Munro over 1,200 metres. It's a three-year-old race, both boys and girls.
Yep.
And she'll probably have an exhibition gallop or a trial between now and then. So I think Waller just sort of thought, they didn't think she could win. And they said, if we don't think she can win, we're not going to put her in the race.
Fair enough.
So let's move on and talk about the favourite and the reason why they didn't think they could win, which is another Chris Waller horse. Here she is, the lady. She comes out here. So let's remember, you've got the other lady, the Golden Slipper, with a lady at Camelot leading there in the yellow and the white. Lady Shenandoah goes past her like she's a B grader, C grader, D grader. Super impressive. Obviously, everyone's very excited about Lady Shenandoah. Let's watch her go through to the line and then we'll bring the market up and have a good chat. Let's do it. Here's the market. She dominates.
Yeah, she's 155, and we just saw why she's 155. So that race that we just saw was over 1,200. Saturday's 1,400. Lady of Camelot, who's second pick in the only other horse in the market, led and has never been past 1,200 metres. I can't see 1,400 being really advantageous to Lady of Camelot, whereas Lady Shenandoah should improve on what she did and go to an even new level over 1,400. That's why there's the discrepancy there between the two prices. There's good pace here as well. Lilac, Husk, all go forward. And, of course, Lady of Camelot will be on pace. I just can't. Shenandoah, barrier three, gets a lovely suck run behind. The only knock I could possibly have is Chris Waller second up after a first up win. We've seen his horses sometimes come back flat. I think you lose 12% on turnover on that type scenario. So that's the only knock I could have. But, yeah, not a bet for me, but the only horse I could back.
Fizz?
Yeah, I think it wins. Lady Shenandoah or Lady of Camelot win in a place. Thank you at those odds if I could. I don't think it'll get 1,400. More than happy to bet around it for the place dividend. I thought the run of Castagna – mate of mine pointed that out to me this morning. Number 10, it's 80-1. Not on the screen, but it's 80s and about $12 a hole. I think if you watch its run through the line against Lady Shenandoah last start, you'd be quite impressed and worth a place bet maybe. Okay. I don't see it winning the race, but at $12 a hole, maybe something on it. And Powers of Opal first up, I didn't mind its soft trial. Another 40-1 shot that could run into a hole as well.
Fantastic. Let's talk about the best race of the day. Arguably the three best weight for age horses in the land. You've probably got Mr. Brightside in there as well. He's definitely got a better track record than Chow Wolf, but the other two go real good. Via, Fangirl, Chow Wolf, what are we going to do?
Well, we saw it's exactly the same as the Apollo, isn't it, two weeks ago. And I sat here 2 weeks ago and I said that the only horse I could back in that race was Fangirl and asked you to ring Chris Waller and see what he was going to do. As it turned out, I said the only way Fangirl can beat V. Sestina is if she sits in front of him. Mm. She did. She did sit in front of her and she beat her. V. Sestina was blocked for a run that day, didn't get out to the 200, which cost her all chance of winning, really. I'm not saying she would have won, but 200-meter sprint over 1,400 is not really V. Sestina's go. Having said all that, it's another really interesting race because we've got no speed again on paper. Probably Lindemann goes forward. So what's really interesting about this race is Via Sestina's barrier. Mm-hmm. So Via Sestina's got barrier 8. Fitz, I'll ask you, I know you're keen on Via Sestina. What do you think James is going to do?
I think he'll do what he normally does, get in the 1-1. I don't know how he does it, but he seems to do it every race. And I think she will be way too good for him this time in. I think Fangirl's a bit short now for some reason. I looked at a couple of maps this morning and people had Fangirl going back, which I found quite weird, well, seeing it settled in front of it last
start. She's at her best at Randwick, Fangirl.
Yeah, so maybe. And
loves
I mean, tactics are going to be interesting. You'd think Sal Wolf will have to go back from the wide gate, and I think Via Sestina will push a bit more forward than people think, and J-Mac will find his spot. And we all saw what happened last day. It was a little bit unlucky, but he wasn't on it, so probably summed up the story. It's official Saturday set tip. I don't like tipping the big races, but this one, okay. I'm all over this one.
Yeah, right.
My summary of this race, which is just so intriguing, is that if Via Sestina does go forward and even sat outside a horse like Lindemann, Via Sestina would win the race. I think if Via Sestina goes back from the gate, lets Fangirl get in front of her, then over 1600 Via Sestina won't win. Why this is so interesting is because Chris Waller is extremely negative out of wide barriers. If you back Chris Waller out of wide barriers as a general rule, it's like one of the worst records I've seen. And why? Because he's so negative. Whether he's going to be negative out of this wide gate with Via Sestina, I don't know the answer to that. But that is the issue for me with Via Sestina, especially taking $2 about a horse that's probably a 2,000-meter horse at her best. I think that the next two – where's she go?
Randvet. She'll go to Randvet on Golden Slipper Day. How good a day racing will that be?
2,000 meters.
And
tick.
Then obviously the Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'd take a double those two rather than be taking $2 about Via Sestina in this race. I'm certainly not against Via Sestina. What worries me, and I fell into it last week, which I'm filthy about with Woden, was going back from that wide gate. Fangirl, this is interesting as well. Chris Waller was second up, which we mentioned after a first up win. Will Fangirl be a bit flat?
She doesn't often go two in a row either, winning.
Very
Fangirl.
Rare. Very rare, only early in her career.
And I reckon they'll want Bea to win, and I reckon he'll say to J-Mac, you do what you want to do, and J-Mac's too smart. So okay. That's my theory behind it.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I do agree. If I was going to bet in the race, the only horse I could back is Via Sestina, which leaves us, we haven't spoken about Geo Wolf at all. I think he'll improve. I think he'll definitely improve. I don't think he was there.
His run was good.
His run was all right.
Yeah, his run
going
was good.
14 to 1600 to a definite tick. We've seen what he can do over 1600. The thing that worried me about Geo Wolf was barrier 9 again. He will go back and he'll probably go back to last or second last on the outside. Has he got the sprinter off a slow tempo to run down Via Sestina if he goes forward, or Fangirl if she's cutting through the middle? Judging on last run, probably not, but he's gonna be there. I've talked about this race a lot. Via Sestina is the only horse I could back, but too short because I'm sick of backing favourites that don't tick every box.
A few of the boys in the den want to tip Zaracum. Zaracum, the Kieran Maher brought it over from the UK, performed, I think, around second at Royal Ascot. So.
Mm. Well, you never know. Sometimes these slow tempos can throw up a really weird result as well. So I wouldn't.
Don't forget Lindemann that ran second.
Yeah,
last start. I mean,
yeah.
And on Saturday afternoon, it's rare that I don't have any duties. Like I don't have to do any content or anything.
What are you getting up to,
mate? I'm going to take myself out to Randwick. I'm going to go and watch the Very Elegant and the Surround by myself. Yeah. I'm going to love it. I'm going to go and get up close to all the horses. And
any reason you're going by yourself? You're not inviting anyone, or you just
but
like
I will
hanging,
be there.
You like hanging by yourself a bit.
Well, just no one wants to. Fizz, you want to come to the races with me on Saturday?
Well, we're all working.
We're all in here betting, mate.
We can still come.
Yeah, get no, I've no interest.
I'll be there. I'll have my Wolf Den hat on. So if you want to come and chat with me and keep me company, please do so. Can I please get your official Saturday set?
Yeah, the great El Morzillo is my first tip. back at Flemington. Now let's move on to three official.
There's a lot of tips
Saturday
this week.
Sets plus L is four. So let's go staying at Royal Randwick, race nine, number nine, with your blessing. Mm. In career best form, gets in with 53 kilos. Up in grade, but based on the times off the last run, can definitely handle it. Looks a good bet to me. Then let's head up to Eagle Farm, race nine, number six, Mullane.
Mm-hmm.
Clear class edge over the rivals. Very, very strong over 1,200 metres, and I've seen has been well backed. I haven't bet yet, but has been well backed in early markets. Then we go Morpheville, race eight, number nine, Porter, another horse that's been well backed early. Barrier one, straight to the front. No weight on his back at all. And got beat last time, ran eighth at Flemington, but over raced that day, which isn't really a trait of this horse. I'm not sure what happened that day. So those are my four. I'm very confident I've got to get back on the wagon after last week's officials.
Didn't perform.
Was a duck egg?
Yes.
But you know what that means, don't you?
Strike back.
That's it.
The Empire strikes back. Fizz. That's it.
Very good. Yeah, I've obviously tipped Randwick race eight, number eight versus Stina. So that's my first one. I didn't find a whole lot of value this weekend. I have one roughie that I'm tipping. But anyway, we've got an Ascot race one, number four, a horse called Ginger Morpheus. This horse was super impressive winning its maiden at Bunbury last start. It's around the $2.30 mark. They've just gone up. So looked a good price to me for a horse sitting outside the lead, should run away with it. Race five in Ascot, number six, a horse called Terra Tiff. I was hoping to see bigger odds than what they put up. Unfortunately, they put up about $1.90. It's straight into 170. Pike gets on this horse. It was a good thing beat last start, and I think it'll win this weekend. We'll go over to Eagle Farm. Race two, number seven, a horse called Alboros. This horse is they've been very patient with this one. Its last trial was in red hot time. I think it'll go to the front. I think they'll struggle to chase it down. We'll go to Adelaide for my other tip. So this is a bit of a specky. Race seven, number 10. This horse is called Lil Wonder. This horse has been running in the dirt up in Darwin. It's first up for a new stable, Will Clark and Nicky O'Shea. I didn't mind its two little jump outs and one official trial, and it's around $19. Could surprise at those odds. Mm. So I've had a bit of a dippity at a big price.
We love a bit of Val.
Yeah, anyway, that's it for mine.
This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes has you covered with all the best racing features so you can own this autumn carnival. You can support the show by joining Ladbrokes today and using the code GALLOP. And if you want the ultimate social betting experience, be sure to check out Ladbrokes Mates Mode, where you can chat, share and bet with your mates. We've even started our own Wolfden Mates Mode group, and you can join the action by using the join code UPTHEDEN25. So check out Mates Mode and download the Ladbrokes app this autumn carnival.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Tasty. Let's talk about something else that probably would be tasty. Dano put this up on the den yesterday. Mm. Look at it. Look, Wolf Den Brewing Company. Is that us?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, no, it looks like us.
Looks good, doesn't it?
It should be, though. It should be us.
Now, so in answer to his question, expansion plans, Kings and R Racing, no, we're not expanding into brewing. I would love to. But he came up with his catch cry if we did want to do it. He said, Wolf Den Beer, bet with the pack, taste the win. Yeah. Not a bad little motto.
Yeah, no.
He thought it might be easier than trying to back a winner, getting a brewing company and start pumping out some beers and some. Why don't we expand into some whiskeys and some vodkas? There's that many out nowadays.
Make it a nice, seltzer, I want to make nice a Wolf Den sports seltzer. Bar as well.
Yeah.
Somewhere out the back for everyone to watch the horses.
We need to have a Wolf Den sports bar.
So if anyone wants to tip in between 5 and 10 million, feel free.
sports bars, a lot of great sports bars in Las Vegas. We kick off the NRL this weekend. We're not doing an NRL season preview this year, but I thought we might just have a bit of a quick chat about the NRL season coming up.
It's exciting.
Where do we start? Where do we start?
Start with who I've backed.
Okay, who have you backed?
Brisbane.
This is to win the competition.
To win the comp, yeah.
Hands
to
up
win
if
the comp.
You're on Brisbane.
You're right. That's good.
Yeah, you like Brizzy?
I took $13 off the tab.
Yeah, well, they put up $17 Brisbane, and I looked at that and thought
Tom that was from Ladbrokes.
Yeah, that was a really, really amazing price. Then you've stepped in at $13 and knocked everyone's market off. And I've come in late at $8.50 after they've signed Ben Hunt, which I thought was a big plus. I'm happy with the $8.50 now that Ben Hunt has gone there. The reason I like him, Madge McGuire, I think he's a first or second year coach, as in he'll have him fit, he'll have him, you know,
hungry,
he pushes hard. they'll buy into his plan for a couple of years. I think they'll win a comp either this year or next year. Ben Hunt adds a lot of experience. Adam Reynolds is fit and ready to go as well. Then you've got Reece Walsh. You've got the best forward in the game is at Payne Haas. I just think they've got a lot of depth as well. They lost the grand final that they should have won, which they were home in two years ago. That'll make them hungry. People often forget about these teams. They come back and win the comp again. You go, what was I doing there? I didn't see it. The 850 is a big price. I think if they come out and win four or five of their first six games, that they could even push for favouritism with the roster that they've got.
Yeah, depending on how the other teams are going as well.
Mm.
So you're obviously on them
as well. I'm on them as well. Yeah. I haven't backed any other team this year. I'm going to chisel in and throughout the season, and I'm pretty keen on Brisbane. I'm the same as Kings.
I've got Melbourne Storm favourite in the market that I did. They're only 350 with the bookies now, which is a very short price considering you got to put your cash in as well for 9 months. But 350, I think, with injuries, which will determine not only the premiers, but they will determine the wooden spooners as well. But I think Melbourne deserved to be favourite. They played Penrith in the grand final, which they started favourite at $1.80 favourites. I know they got beat. Their roster, who did they buy? Melbourne bought someone good. I think they got a plus. I can't remember. I can't remember who it was off the top of my head. But Penrith have lost Luai, and they've also lost Fisher Harris. So they've gone back a little bit. There's not many rosters
this
year.
Which they do every year and then win it again.
But there's not many rosters this year that have gone forward. Brisbane's one of them. I think Melbourne went forward very slightly. So I think I think there's only three hopes: Melbourne, Brisbane, and Penrith. I couldn't back Penrith just because it's that hard to win four in a row. How amazing they've won four comps in a row.
It's happened so quickly, too, isn't it?
So they've got to keep getting up, and they're becoming a little bit more reliant on Cleary as well. So that's what I think. I think Brisbane or Melbourne will win the comp. I've had a couple of wooden spoon bets. I took 20-1 your Bunnies and 20-1 North Queensland as well. But the reason I backed Bunnies was because of injuries. Murray's gone down, Mitchell's gone down, Campbell Graham's gone down. And as I said, I think injuries will play a massive part in who wins the comp and who runs last. What do you reckon for the spoon, Fitz?
Yeah, I went with you. When I heard about the injuries for the Bunnies, I was straight into it. If I can sledge one team all year, it'll be the Bunnies. Straight into them for the spoon. That's all I've done for the spoon. I've only backed Brisbane for the win, so that's my book so far.
I think my Roosters will struggle to make the eight. I think they'll finish between about 7th and 10th. They've lost so many players. I thought the Gold Coast Titans were one that I would back for the eight, and I think they are my improver for the year.
Okay.
They're probably arguably the best forward pack nearly in the comp. Tino was out last year. He's coming back. Are you tipping, Rich?
Broncos.
Oh, no.
Now, listen, what about on Sunday, those two games in Vegas?
Why?
And no, Penrith will win again. Penrith, go five, Pete. What's happening? What's happening on Saturday? I'm not tipping the Broncos. I said that to be funny. I'm tipping Penrith. Penrith will win at the 2025 NRL Premiership. Two games on Sunday in Vegas. Who are we tipping?
Oh, well, Canberra had a few issues over there, didn't they? In the lift, and who's sleeping in whose bed. I'm tipping I thought the markets were about right. I did want to back Sharks with the start.
I thought the Sharks were upset.
I was hoping for better, though. I was hoping for six start, which everyone laughed at me about, but I was hoping for it. I think it's only about 3.5. Probably looks right about right. I think if you make a rule not to bet against Penrith ever, you'll finish with more money than you started with. And the other game, I thought Warriors, but not a great deal of value. The value I thought in the first round was the Dragons with 7.5 start at home against the Bulldogs at Cogra.
Okay. Will you go out to Allianz to watch your Roosters versus your Broncos Thursday night football?
I hope so.
I think I'm going to go.
I hope so. Yeah.
I'll go
too
by
far
myself
away
again.
For me
if anyone
to
wants to come the footy with me, just let me know. Looking for someone to go with. Is that a good place to finish?
Plenty of mates.
Yeah,
well,
why not?
I'll see you all at the races on Saturday by myself. Thank you for the support. Have a wonderful week. Long live the great game.